The wise men showed reverence for Jesus. The wise men, who knew a lot about a lot of stuff, they also knew that when you come to see Jesus, you have a gift in your hand.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Visit of the Wise Men and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
We're in the book of Matthew, and we are in chapter 2, and we are in verse 1. The title of this sermon is going to be The Visit of the Wise Men. If we could all stand in reverence to God's holy word. I'm reading out of the ESV today. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, I pray, O God, that you will anoint me to speak your word, Lord, and not my own. God, I pray that everyone here, including myself, will have their heart open so that we may receive and that we may obey and that we may carry it out forth. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. There are three main elements in this verse. Who would know that in such a small verse, there would be three things? There is Jesus. There is Herod. They are the wise men. We shall learn about them today. Three elements in this verse I want to go over. Jesus, Herod, and the wise men. Jesus is my first point. Matthew 2:1, our key verse. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Okay, so listen. Jesus' birth was in Bethlehem of Judea. Bethlehem was about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Jesus' birth in the Judea region marks him as being from the tribe of Judah and from the city that produced the Davidic kings. This is another sign that Jesus was born into the what? Lineage of King David. Okay? So we were talking about that in chapter 1, weren't we? So we're continuing on about Jesus here. Micah 5:2 foretells in prophecy that Jesus was going to come out from this area. Okay? So the prophet Micah was talking about this. That's important because we are still going back to the Old Testament. Matthew likes to do that to prove his point that Jesus was the rightful king. Now, this is important because this verse also mentions another king, doesn't it? King who? Herod. Okay, so we know that at the arrival time of the wise men, Jesus was about 2 years old. Now, in our nativity scenes, we always see a little baby Jesus in a stable, don't we? And we see the wise men standing around them, right? Usually three. And you got all the animals there, and you got this little bitty baby. That's not right. That's not what the Bible teaches. This is why it's so important to know our Bible. So what I'm about to tell you is about to break some Christmas tradition. Okay, so we know this. How do I know this? Well, the Bible tells us. First of all, Herod ordered the execution of all boys 2 years and younger. Herod, the acting king at the time, wanted to kill all of the boys that were 2 years and younger. In fact, he not only wanted to, he pretty much did it. Now think about this. Herod knew that the king of the Jews was being born, or had been born, and he wanted to make sure he got him. So back in those days, you didn't have birth certificates, so you didn't know who was who, right? Didn't have social security cards and all of that. So he wanted to make sure he didn't miss any of them, so he went throughout the region with the soldiers, and he had them kill all of these children 2 years and younger. The other reason why we know that Jesus was at least two is because Jesus and his family had moved out of the stable into a house, Matthew 2:11. They'd already got their own place. Matthew describes Jesus as a child instead of a baby in Matthew 2:11. So now we know a little bit more about Jesus and the setting, don't we? That Christmas tradition doesn't teach us. It's an eye-opener, isn't it? That you have to get your knowledge from the Word of God. You can't get it from TV. You can't get it from word of mouth so much. You have to get into the Bible, read it for yourself, and see what God is telling you. Because all these Christmas decorations out there, they depict Jesus as a little baby with the wise men standing around him. And they always say three wise men, right? Well, we're going to get to that. Matthew 2:11 says, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him." So there we have it, going into the house, not a stable. And then we have a child, and we have Mary as his mother. So we know that Jesus is a little bit older now, don't we? All right. Now, the second element of this verse is Herod. Matthew 2:1, our key verse says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king." The king. Was Herod the rightful king? He wasn't, was he? No, he wasn't. This Herod is the Herod the First or Herod the Great. He was the first line of Herods, okay? And is one of the many Herods mentioned in the New Testament. So every time you hear the name Herod, it doesn't always mean this guy. All right, his first role over the Jews was that of prefect. And that was like a civil or military official. Over time, Herod manipulated the authorities in Rome to appoint him king of the Jews. See, he had relatives in power in Rome. What he did is he got those relatives to push for him to get power over the Jews. We have people like that today, don't we? They get family into a position, or they have family in position, and then that family helps the other family get to something that they don't deserve, that they won't honor, right? That's what was going on in the Roman government. It's very corrupt. If you had money, you had power. If you had friends, you had influence. Herod knew how to manipulate people to get what he wanted, and he wanted to be king over the Jews. Herod's appointment to king of the Jews was done by man, not God. Jesus is the true king of the Jews. See, Herod had to manipulate his way to become king over the Jews. But God did not appoint Herod. Jesus was and is the rightful king of the Jews. Amen? This man was more like a fraud, a fake. Herod was not a descendant of King David. He didn't have no part of the King David bloodline. And this man is sitting on the throne. He's got no right to be there. Herod had no regal right to rule from David's throne. Regal right would be he didn't even have any kind of royalty in him. He didn't even have the prestige of a king in him. This guy just came out of nowhere with no experience, and he put himself there. Psalm 89:4, "I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations." That's God talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus being the rightful king. Amen. Herod was not a descendant of Abraham, and therefore not even Jewish. He wasn't even of the nationality of the Jews. But he set himself over that. The reason why this is so important is because this is what happens to a society or to a group of people when someone who doesn't belong, because they force their way in, takes over and tries to lead people. When someone ungodly comes into your life and pushes you into doing something that they believe in, you're going the wrong direction. And Herod was bringing the entire nation of the Jews into the wrong direction. He was bringing them into oppression, suffering, pain. That's why when Jesus finally showed up as an adult, they wanted rid of the Romans because of tyrants like this. Herod had no legal right to rule from David's throne. He wasn't Jewish. He wasn't from the line of King David. This guy had no legal right to do what he was doing, but he was getting away with it for the time being, right? Because we all know that God lets us get away with stuff for a little while, doesn't he? But then, when he's had enough, it's judgment time. Amen? Okay. Herod was a ruthless, power-hungry tyrant. There's no other way to describe this guy. This guy was just evil. He killed anyone that came against him. If he so much as thought something about you that was going to threaten his throne, you would be toast. He wouldn't even think twice about him. Come on, this guy's killing babies, right? This guy's killing babies. This guy was evil. Immediately after assuming title of king, he killed many of his would-be opposers. He killed them. He wiped out a lot of these people. Okay, my third point is the wise men. That's the third element. The Bible never tells us that there were only three wise men who visited Jesus. Only that they presented three gifts. So everybody was thinking, wait a minute, if there was three gifts, there was three people, right? They all lined up and they each gave one to baby Jesus. No, there was three gifts, but there was more than probably three. The times were dangerous and people traveled in large groups for protection. You got to remember, these guys traveled thousands of miles to see Jesus. Thousands. And in those days, it was really hard getting anywhere because people wanted to rob you. People wanted to kill you because you might have a pair of shoes or a cloak or a horse or a donkey or a cart or anything that they could steal from you. These wise men were actually referred to as magi. Magi studied astrology, astronomy, mathematics, agriculture, and even the occult. By the time that Jesus' birth took place, magi referred to a large variety of learned men. So these weren't like priests that were coming to see Jesus. These men would study the stars. Now, what got their attention in the star? The thing that got their attention was the star wasn't always there. Scientists now believe that there was a supernova that took place and that these magi had witnessed something up in the sky. That was a sign. Now, doesn't Jesus talk about signs in the sky when he returns as well? Well, a supernova occurred when Jesus was born. And these magi, they saw it. So they knew that Jesus had come. And they had studied the scripture because they were learned men. That's really the reference that we're using. They weren't so wise. They were learned. They were educated. That was another word for them. And they knew that by the signs that Christ had been born. And they wanted to come and present him with gifts. So you see, they acted on what they saw. Now, many times, and we can take this in the context for our lives, many times God will give us signs in our life. May not be as dramatic as a supernova up in the sky as our personal sign, but there are things that God speaks to us in. For the Magi and the rest of the world, it was what? It was a star, okay, or a supernova. For us, it could be little things. It could be a friend telling us something. It could be coming to church and hearing a verse. Or hearing something in the sermon that clicks in your heart. It could be a friend coming up to you at church and praying for you. Little things like that, that God does in your life so that he can remain involved with you. little subtle things that we can sometimes miss. It's interesting that the Magi, who studied a vast variety of different things, actually didn't miss the coming of Jesus. They must have been of high stature because they had access to King Herod. You just didn't walk in and say, I want to see King Herod. You didn't do that. You had to have power, prestige. You couldn't just come see this guy unless you were in trouble. Then you didn't want to see him, right? So we knew that these guys must have had something going on for themselves because they had access to King Herod. Also, they had some pretty nice gifts to give to Jesus, didn't they? So this last part is the wise versus the fool. And I want everybody's heart to open up on this because now that we got the background of Jesus being the rightful king and of Herod being the fake king, if you will, and the wise men knowing Jesus was the king, this could really, really open our hearts to a new relationship to God as we see the reaction of two separate elements in this verse, and that being Herod and the wise men. See, sometimes when we make a comparison between two things, right, we can get discernment on how we should react. So let's take a look at this. The wise men knew who Jesus was. Who was Jesus to the wise men? He was the promised Messiah, right? He was more than just a baby. He was more than just a physical king of bloodline. He was the promised Messiah. They knew this. They knew this. That's important to know. Because if you don't know who he is, you won't know what he will do for your life if you accept him. Herod knew Jesus only as an earthly king, not Messiah. He was threatened that somebody was born of the bloodline and that they would take over his kingship. That's all he cared about. If he believed that this was God, if he believed that this was from God, if he believed that this was the Messiah, he wouldn't have touched him. He wouldn't have tried to touch him. So we know by his actions of trying to kill Jesus that he didn't believe in who Jesus was. But he did believe the Magi, didn't he? He believed them enough to think, hey, my throne could be threatened. Isn't it amazing how power and money can corrupt the person that they can turn their back even on the word of God? That's what Herod was doing. Here was some witnesses telling him, hey, the king of the Jews has arrived. And the only thing he could get out of it was, my stuff is being threatened. These people were taking him to church by telling him, hey, the Messiah has been born. Oh man, my stuff. I got to protect my stuff. He didn't believe who Jesus was. The wise men showed reverence for Jesus. The wise men, who knew a lot about a lot of stuff, they also knew that when you come to see Jesus, you have a gift in your hand because you're talking to the king. Now, for those of you, and don't raise your hand, who have been in front of a judge, the reason why you're here today is because you showed that judge respect. When you went into that courtroom for a speeding ticket or some other law violation, you showed reverence because you know who the judge is. He's the guy that's over you. He's the guy that can determine how much you're going to pay for the broken law. He's the guy that's going to decide if you walk out of there and go home or if you spend a night in his hotel. The wise men knew who they had to show reverence to. They knew that Jesus was the Messiah. They knew who they were going to go see. They knew that they had to respect him. They knew that they had to show reverence for him. They knew that they had to pay homage to him. He wasn't even appointed king with a crown on his head. And they were still coming to see him. You talk about faith. You talk about faith. They didn't even have the New Testament speaking of all that Jesus has done for us the way we have it. We have such an advantage point of seeing who Jesus is now, far greater than what the wise men had. We have so much information today about who God is and what he has done for us through Jesus that we have no excuse not to show him reverence, no excuse not to be paying homage to him, no excuse to be disrespecting him in any way, shape, or form. No excuse to have any unbelief whatsoever, because we have so much evidence in hindsight, more than they did. So the wise men showed reverence for Jesus. Herod showed contempt. The wise men wanted to bring Christ's gifts. They brought him gifts. They were looking for him. They were seeking after him. They were traveling to go see him. They wanted to be with him, and not just be with him. They wanted to give him something. They wanted to pay homage. They wanted to show their appreciation. They desired this. They went out of their way for this. They made more than an attempt. They struggled to do it. It wasn't easy to go perhaps even 1,000 miles, some believe, that they traveled to go see Jesus. Some of us can't even go 2 miles to go to church, amen? But these folks traveled thousands of miles to bring gifts to Jesus. They wanted to see him. They desired to see him. They longed to see him. Herod wanted to bring Christ death. He wanted to destroy Jesus. Death, that was his gift to Jesus. You see the contrast here now? You see this? You see where we're going here? The wise men, they're acting and reacting totally different to Jesus than what Herod was reacting and acting towards Jesus. Herod wanted to find Jesus so that he could kill him. Now think about this. Herod was seeking after Jesus for all the wrong reasons. People can do that today. Now, in Herod's case, his reason was to retain power and wealth. But in today's age, some people are seeking for Jesus so that they can gain power and wealth. If I just believe in God, he'll give me everything I ever wanted. It doesn't work that way. If I just come to church and I just do everything that I'm supposed to do outwardly, I'll be blessed. It doesn't work that way. The three wise men wanted to seek Jesus for a relationship. They wanted to know the king. They wanted to be with the king. So Herod wanted to find Jesus so that he could kill him. So that he could kill him. The wise men traveled over 1,000 miles to worship Jesus. You see the contrast here? When we come to God for anything less than worship and reverence and wanting a relationship with him, what we are doing is we're telling God that I want you on my terms. And that is the wrong state to come to God. The heart that we should have for God is the heart that the wise men had. You can learn a lot from one verse in the Bible, because these men traveled over 1,000 miles. Now, I don't know if you guys understand this, because we have SUVs today and Jeeps and trucks and airplanes and motorcycles. I mean, we can get around fairly easy. If you want to go to Europe, you just grab a plane and you go, right? And even then, we complain how long the ride was and uncomfortable seats and not enough food and you name it. We're talking about 1,000 miles over rough, hot, treacherous terrain. What motivated these wise men? I'll tell you what it was. It was faith. Faith will motivate you when your body doesn't want to do what the Spirit is telling it to do. Faith will move you over mountains when your body can't go over a little hilltop. Faith will let you see the big picture when your own eyes can't even see past the 2 feet in front of you. This is what is so important about looking at the contrast of this Bible verse. When you look at people who revere God, who fear God, who love God, who worship God, and then you see the people that hate him, that want to destroy him. In this one verse, Matthew gives us the birthplace of Christ, the false appointment of a king, and a mighty display of reverence for Jesus as the true king. In one verse, God speaks volumes. His mind is so wonderful. His love is so great. And his presence is indescribable.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.